Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Welcome to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And you'll be glad to know that this week in the tech world for Dr. Bill, things are going a lot better. You know, last week I was having a bad tech day. This week, things are better. Gotta love that. Well, much to talk about today. Lots going on that I want to cover. One of the things I want to cover, I've got to give you some background for. You know, just right off the top. We've got to cover some things because in order for you to understand one of the things that I want to present, I've got to give you some history. I'm not a big video game player. Okay, never really have been. You know, yes, my son Ben is a tremendous video game player. As a matter of fact, he is the game master. And if you are interested, go to his website. Yes, he has a website, gamemasters.biz, B-I-Z, and you can find out all the things that he's into. But anyway, what I am into is not exactly video games. I'm more into computer systems, developing computer systems, building computer systems, engineering them, system management, things along that line. That's what I do for fun. You say, but Dr. Bill, I thought that's what you did for a living. Well, yeah, that too. But hey, you know, if you're going to have a job that's fun, right? So that's what I do. And as a matter of fact, a little bit of news, personal news for myself. When I first started the podcast, I told you that I was webmaster for Guilford County. And indeed I was. However, now I have moved on to being a computer consultant working out at the Center for Creative Leadership. And I start there again on Monday. I say again because I was there for 6 years as Enterprise System Manager and keeping all their computer systems humming and being happy. And there's a particular recent episode of Stargate when they started their new season back where the new guy, Ben Browder, played by Ben Browder, Cameron Mitchell, came onto the show and he was trying to get the Stargate team back together and he was having a hard time. He just kept trying to get them back together and everything. And when they finally all came back together, he said, dude, getting the band back together. And that's how I feel about going back to CCL. We're getting the band back together. All the guys and gals out there, going to be a lot of fun to be working back out at Center for Creative Leadership again. So, I'll start that on Monday. Bit of personal news there. But I digress. Back to what I was talking about, which is that I enjoy system management. That's what I do for fun. And, you know, playing with technology, learning new technologies, that's just what turns me on. All right, well, however, video games. You go back far enough with video games, back to the ancient days of PC video games, and there was a particular game from a company called Toa Plan called Zero Wing. Okay? Now, Toa Plan had a port for the Sega Genesis console that had an intro scene, which was translated into English very poorly. Okay? It was what we call, what is it, Japan? No. English. Yeah, that's it. English. Son Ben helping me with that because he is, after all, the game master. But at any rate, they translated it, and it was a very poor translation. And let me give you, because when you hear this, I'm going to play a little bit for you here of what it actually sounded like. When you hear this, you will not really fully be able to understand it because it is kind of a little garbled. It's the old video game audio, so it doesn't sound all that great. But here's what they say. In AD 2101, war was beginning. Okay, well, that's not so bad so far. Then the captain says, what happened? That doesn't work. And then the mechanic says, somebody set us up the bomb. The operator says, we get signal. The captain says, what? And then the operator says, main screen, turn on. Captain says, it's you, because this being appears in the middle of the control room there. And then the bad guy, whose name is Katz, for no apparent reason, says, how are you, gentlemen? All your base are belong to us. You are on the way to destruction. The captain says, what you say? Yeah. And then the Katz guy says, you have no chance to survive. Make your time. Ha, ha, ha. And then the captain says, take off every zig. I assume that a zig is like a craft that you would take off in to go into combat, but he says, take off every zig. And then the captain says, you know what you're doing. Move zig for great justice. Well, obviously, this was unintentionally very funny to Americans who saw this and so went, what? You know, all your base are belong to us, and it just became a phenomenon. It swept the country, particularly around the year 2001 or so. It just began to turn up everywhere. All your base are belong to us. I mean, it was showing up on signs, and people were writing it in the early versions of blogs and websites. I mean, it was just crazy how many people got into that. And so now I'll play the audio for you from the actual video game, and then as it kind of fades out in the middle, it picks up with a kind of a rap version, so to speak, techno sound music that this group called Overclock.org did to kind of parody the phenomenon of what was going on with All Your Base. So check this out. I think you'll like it.
What happened? Someone set up Octobot. We get signal. What? Main screen turn on. It's you.
How are you, gentlemen? All your base are belong to us. You are on the way to destruction.
What you say?
You have no chance to survive, made your time. Ha ha ha.
Okay, check it out. Here comes the song.
All your base, base. All your base, don't belong to us. All your base, base. All your base, don't belong to us. All your base, base.
You gotta admit, it sort of rocks.
Don't belong to us. All your base, base.
See, the real problem is it is so catchy that it gets stuck in your head. And it plays. And it plays. And it plays. And it drives you nutty. Well, anyway, I had this stuck in my head my last day of work there at Guilford County. And so I went up and down the hall saying, all your base are belong to us. Yeah, I know. They thought I was crazy. No big deal. Okay, so all your base are belong to us. Now you say, what in the world does that have to do with anything about the podcast? Well, it goes to explain some of the things that I have posted, like the 20 geek jokes the masses may not get. If you go to thecomputercurmudgeon.com and check out the blog, you will find 20 geek jokes the masses may not get. And I had to do all of that intro just to explain one of the jokes, because if you didn't have that background, you wouldn't get it, which is kind of the point of these jokes, okay? All right, let's go through them, because they're kind of fun. There are 10 types of people in the world, those who understand binary and those who don't. Get it? 10, 1, 0. There's only ones and zeros in binary, so there's only, yeah, okay. Second one, if at first you don't succeed, call it version 1. Now, most software engineers fully understand and appreciate that fact. And it also explains a lot of software that comes out, and you go, right, okay. If at first you don't succeed, call it version 1. Number 3, my software never has bugs. It just develops random features. Uh-huh. That kind of goes back to the old thing. If you know, oh, it's not a bug, it's a feature. There you go. Now, here's the one you needed the background for. Roses are hexadecimal FF0000. Violets are hexadecimal 0000FF. All my base are belong to you. Okay, of course, those are hexadecimal representations used in HTML code to specify red and blue. So roses are red, violets are blue, all my base are belong to you. Got it? See, you couldn't have gotten that if you didn't understand all your base are belong to us. Okay. Number 5, Microsoft. You've got questions. We've got dancing paperclips. Right. Number six, I would love to change the world, but they won't give me the source code. Now, there's a true programmer for you. Number seven, the box said, requires Windows 95 or better, so I installed Linux. There you go. Love this guy's attitude. All right. Number eight, in a world without fences and walls, who needs gates and windows? That's, of course, the mantra of every Linux geek. Number nine, hand over the calculator. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. Yeah. Number 10, you know it's love when you memorize her IP number to skip DNS overhead. Now there's a true geek. Okay. Number 11, Ethernet. Noun, something used to catch the Ether Bunny. Uh-huh. Number 12, Linux, DOS, and Windows. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Number 13, programming today is a race between software engineers striving to build bigger and better idiot-proof programs and the universe trying to produce bigger and better idiots. So far, the universe is winning. There you go. Number 14, how do I set a laser printer to stun? Now there's a trekker from way back. Number 15, failure is not an option. It comes bundled with Windows. There you go, it's a feature. 16. People say that if you play Microsoft CDs backwards, you hear satanic things. But that's nothing, because if you play them forwards, they install Windows. That's truly an evil plot. Number 17. Windows had detected that you do not have a keyboard. Press F9 to continue. Yeah, that sounds like some error messages I've seen. Number 18. Beware of computer programmers that carry screwdrivers. Now, this is a subtle joke involving the fact that most computer programmers are usually not technically oriented when it comes to hardware, and most computer hardware people are not particularly good programmers. So if you find a computer programmer that carries a screwdriver, watch out. Okay, number 19, here we go. Here's some SQL for you. SQL, of course, being a database language. Select star from users where clue is greater than zero, and then the result returns zero results. So, from users, no one has a clue. There you go. And then finally, number 20, there is no place like 127.0.0.1, which, of course, in TCP/IP is localhost. And localhost would be, yeah, you got it, home. So, there's no place like home. So, there you go. 20 geek jokes the masses may not get. And I guarantee you, if you will share that with your completely computer illiterate friends, they will read through them and go, what? But the geeks will be rolling around on the floor laughing and tears coming out of their eyes, and there you go. So, I had to do all that explanation using the all your base are belong to us in order to explain the jokes. And because it's just a lot of fun and I wanted to play the music. So, there you go. Alrighty. Other things that are happening this week in the news, big thing for North Carolina is that Dell officially opened their new plant over near Kernersville, between Winston, Greensboro, right in the Kernersville area. They opened up a 750,000 square foot facility. This facility is so big that their Austin plant and their Red Rock plant in Texas both would fit inside this building. That's how big this thing is. It is huge. And there's already, I think they said, like maybe 600 employees working out there. There'll be soon be 1,500 employees working out there. They're going to be producing, in very short order, one computer every 5 seconds. So you go 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005. A computer has been produced. That's pretty amazing. But that's not all. By the time they get up to full power, so to speak, and they get all the employees out there that they're planning on hiring, when it's working at top level, so to speak, they'll be turning out one computer every 2.5 seconds. Now, that's just amazing. That's hard to believe. But it will serve the eastern part of the nation, and it's going to be a real boon, I believe, for North Carolina. And the thing I like about it, it gets us away from a tobacco economy, which, you know, hey, I'm all for that. Get out from that system and turn us into a little bit more of a high-tech area. So I was all for that. I was pretty excited. I've even got a picture of the new plant in the blog there. So if you want to go to thecomputercurmudgeon.com, you can see our shiny new Dell plant sitting right there. Yes, indeed. All right. Another big announcement that that I had was, well, actually there's two real quick. One is that there is a program, if you're a graphics person, you know, you like to play with graphics, you like to do kind of graphical playing around and so forth, and yet you can't afford Photoshop. Photoshop is really, really expensive. I mean, dude, we're talking $600-$700 for a software program. Give me a break. Now, there is a cheaper version called Photoshop Extensions, which is like $99, and it has, you know, some of the features of Photoshop, but not all. However, there's a freebie. Now, I've told you before, I think, about the GIMP, you know, which is a free graphical manipulation program. Originally designed mainly for Linux users. It's been ported to Windows, and yeah, it's okay. I like the GIMP pretty well. The problem is the GIMP is very much un-Photoshop-like. Now, there's a port of the GIMP. A lot of ports going on here. There's a port of the GIMP called GIMP Shop, where they've taken the controls of the GIMP and made it more like Photoshop. But it's still, to me, I've used it, it's still not quite there. However, some MIT students were given an assignment to take the old Microsoft Paint program paradigm and rewrite it in the .NET world of Microsoft. And they used the language C#, and they rewrote it. And it, you know, they did it for a class assignment, and it went, you know, pretty well. But it was so good that basically they decided, you know, why don't we just release this as kind of an open source product, which I think is pretty wild given that it's a Microsoft kind of deal. But they got permission from Microsoft to do this, you know, to redo Paint, so to speak. And so some of the students and the instructors in that class have continued to improve this program, and it's called Paint.net, and it's actually at eecs.wsu.edu/paint.net/index.htm. Yeah, right. That's a long URL to remember. But if you go to my blog, of course, thecomputercurmudgeon.com, there's a link there in the article that will take you right to the page, and you can see it has a lot of pretty decent features, and it does layers like Photoshop does, and it's really pretty nice. So that was our Geek Software of the Week for this week, and I encourage you to check that out. I also have a little definition of Windows that a lot of people really appreciated. I had a comment on that, and I had a lot of comments at work about it. Windows, noun, a 32-bit extension and graphical shell to a 16-bit patch to an 8-bit operating system originally coded for a 4-bit microprocessor that was written by a 2-bit company that can't stand 1-bit of competition. There you go. All right. So that's pretty much you know, most of the articles from the Computer Curmudgeon blog this week, with one exception. I saved the best for last. How to put Firefox on steroids. Oh, yeah, man. I tell you, I have never seen an add-on doohickey that really got me excited as much as this one. And I'll tell you why. I love Firefox. I really do. It's a great browser. I have noticed that on some sites, notably digg.com, that if you go to the site, and I don't know if it's Digg or Firefox, I really don't, but if you go there, it will take a while to load, kind of, and finally come up. And it's a little annoying because you kind of wait and it finally comes up. And I figure Digg has got a lot going on, so I said, okay, fine. If you install this doohickey that puts Firefox on steroids, it's called FasterFox Extensions. You put this on Firefox and you go to Digg and boom, it's up. I mean, it rocks. So you really, really, really need to try this. Now, it does a lot of technical mumbo-jumbo in the background. I won't get into all of that. But you got to try it. Plus, it puts a cute little fox guy right here in the corner in the lower right-hand corner, and it shows you how long it took to load the page. Isn't that cute? Yeah, that's pretty neat. And so page load times show up, and that's kind of handy because you can see just how much faster it makes things come up, and that's kind of neat. So go right now. As I record this, On October the 8th at 9 in the morning. Hey, I got an early start. What can I say? As I record this, it is the number one article, first article up, put Firefox on steroids. I can't promise how long that will be because I might just get the itch to blog some more, and who knows, I may be back doing that. Now, all of that was to catch you up on what's going on the blog, thecomputercurmudgeon.com, which, by the way, you should go to that URL, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Let's go through it again. How do you spell curmudgeon? I know some of you are tired of hearing this. I'll get off of it because I promise most of you have gotten it by now. A bad dog, which is a cur, rolling in the mud, M-U-D, on the planet Geon, G-E-O-N, curmudgeon. So, you know how to spell the, T-H-E, you know how to spell computer, C-O-M-P-U-T-E-R, and now you know how to spell curmudgeon, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Head over to the blog and check it out. You will enjoy it. Now, we only have about 9 minutes or so left in the podcast this week, and I was going to give you a very thorough, detailed view of how to make Windows actually run better than it does out of the box. I think what we'll do is we'll probably put that off until next week, because what I'd like to do is cover some of the news items that caught my eye this week. And in order to do that, I have to take the time to do that and not do the other. So there you go. All right, what's happening this week in the tech world, or the world of geek interest, maybe I should say? Well, one thing is Google is talking about coming out with an office, an online office. Actually, let me back up on that. They're not talking about it. Everybody else is talking about it. Google's not really saying a whole lot of anything about it. But chances are pretty good they're going to come out with an office-like program that will run on the web that you'll be able to go to and actually do word type processing and that kind of thing. So look for that. That might be really, really interesting. Another thing is the BBC apparently let it slip there's really going to be a video iPod. You know, Apple has talked about that they're going to make this big, huge announcement. It's going to change the world as we know it. And everybody said, what, a video iPod? And they're going, no, not that. No, no, not that. And the BBC let slip that that's probably what they're really going to announce. I'm sure Steve Jobs is not really thrilled with the BBC at this point. But there you go. What else is happening? Google did launch an RSS reader. So, you know, Google's been real busy lately. Have you noticed that? They've been up to a whole lot of things. So, watch out for Google. You know, Google, there's some rumors that they're going to have a nationwide Wi-Fi network, secure Wi-Fi network. I know they already have a secure Wi-Fi project going on, but the rumor is that they're going to have it throughout the nation. You'll be able to connect for free, and you just have a few little small ads, you know, like the AdWords programs program to put up with, and you'll have free Wi-Fi. So, you know, hey, that's pretty cool. That'll change things. Let's see what else is happening that is of interest that really strikes my fancy. Well, this week, Wikipedia, which if you're a true geek, you know that Wikipedia is an online, you know, encyclopedia. But what's interesting about Wikipedia is that it is run, if you will, or written by its users. So any user can go in and type in a definition to a particular thing. So Wikipedia is a neat place to go if you are looking for something that might not be in a regular encyclopedia. For instance, some obscure Japanese anime, you know, cartoon, you want to know what the character did, said, whatever, and you go, where in the world would I look that up? Try looking it up on Wikipedia, because chances are really good it's going to be there, because most of the people that are into that are geeks, and of course they are the ones that are writing Wikipedia. So, you know, a very thorough and complete biography of Leo Laporte, for instance, go to Wikipedia, it's there. You know, Kevin Rose, it's there. I mean, you know, just geeky kinds of people and things are going to be on Wikipedia. And they also cover some things that aren't just geeky, but pretty neat stuff. And the idea is that the users actually write the, quote, encyclopedia. Well, one neat thing that happened is that Wikipedia corrected errors in the actual Encyclopedia Britannica. So apparently there's some Encyclopedia Britannica things that were wrong. And so Wikipedia users looked it up, found the answers, and corrected them. How do you like those apples? So that's kind of cool. I thought that was neat that the geeks are kind of correcting the old school type of encyclopedia. All right, what else? What else? What else? Of course, I told you last week about Serenity, the movie that is out now. I gotta admit, I'm sorry. I know my geek cred has come way down, but I haven't seen it yet. I'm sorry. Told you last week I was going to try to go out that afternoon and see it. I didn't get a chance, so I will try to see it this weekend. So, you know, maybe my geek cred will come back up, but right now I'm just kind of, you know, moping around a little. So, okay. So, but if you haven't seen Serenity, please go see it. It really is very cool. And the banter between the characters is always a lot of fun and very, very funny, the situations they find themselves in. And, you know, the whole thing of trying to take a Western genre and mix it into a really, really advanced science fiction space kind of thing. It may sound like old hat, but the way they do it is really kind of new and cool, and it's just fun. So go see Serenity. I think you'll really enjoy it. And if you know, aren't fully up on what it is, then, of course, you need to watch the Sci-Fi Channel Friday evening airing of Firefly, which was the show that Josh Whedon originally wrote for the Fox Network. And it only aired for, like, I don't know, 10 episodes or so, and then Fox canceled it. So, you know, hey, it was new, it was innovative, it was exciting, geeks loved it, so of course they had to cancel it. I mean, it goes without saying. So, they canceled the show, and the fan base was so huge that they actually kind of kept the show going. And the fans of the show Firefly call themselves Browncoats, which is after the captain of the ship and his, I guess you'd call it First Officer Zoe, they were brown coats, which is a term for the opposition to the Alliance in the war that they fought, and it's kind of analogous to the Confederate and Union forces in the Civil War. And of course, this takes place way, way far into the future. But they were called brown coats, which has become a kind of a derogatory term since they were on the losing side. And the fans have picked that up and call themselves Browncoats. And, it's just been an amazing fan phenomenon. And it got to be so kind of out of hand that Josh Whedon came back and said, well, I can't make, I'm contractually forbidden from making the TV show again, but I can make a feature-length movie, which is what he did. And so Serenity is that movie. Go out and see it. You will enjoy it. Well, it's been kind of a different podcast this week. I really intended to get into the how-tos of fixing Windows, so we'll just save that for next week, and I'll try to not let anything else get in the way of doing that. But I had to share some of that with you, particularly some of the funny stuff. It's just, it'll help you, you know, what it don't hurt you. And I know you'll enjoy some of those, and I know you'll enjoy spreading those around. Take that and spread it around. I've already had a few people post it on other blogs and things of that nature. They liked it so much. Do that. Spread to the joy. Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I think we're about done for now. The doctor is out.